ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself, stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. We chickens try to sleep, and you bust in and hobble, hobble, hobble.
Who are you calling chicken? With your chin. Good morning, it's Rosie on the house. We're going to get to our calls at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions at 411-923. We've got some, Greg has some advice on protecting from predators later in this segment, but we are a call-in program for you, the Arizona homeowner. So let's get to our first call. Good morning, and how may we help you?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, this is Kim. I'm out in El Mirage, and I actually have a couple of chickens. And I recently got a Rhode Island Red, who's kind of new to our little flock. Well, there's actually only two of them now, but all of a sudden, she is walking backwards more than she's walking forward. And I don't know if that's something that you've seen before.
I have never seen that before. Oh, my gosh.
She walks backwards. Literally, she's walking backwards more than she walks forwards anymore. Usually, when she's eating, so she'll put her head down, and then all of a sudden, she'll kind of bat her eyes, wink her eyes a couple of times, and then she'll take 9, 10, 12 steps backwards until she bumps into something, and then she'll go about her way and start walking forward again.
That's the Rhode Island Red moonwalk.
Yeah, exactly. Here's what I would do. I would take a video of that and post it on YouTube. Man, that's going to go viral. Never heard of that before. How fun is that?
Well, if you do get that recorded, Kim, give us send it to us.
We can
put it out there. Maybe somebody out there has seen it before. The chicken gone crazy. We had a texter that wanted to know about tips on treating mites. Do you ever have mite problems with your chickens?
Yeah, so really simple. Food-grade diatomaceous earth. Just spread that in their area. And diatomaceous earth is, it feels soft to us, but to a small bug, it's sharp. And it will cut the bug, and they basically bleed to death. Sorry, guys. But yeah, diatomaceous earth, that's the way to go with that.
Now, do you spread that? You don't put it on the chicken, just in the areas that they dig and scratch and give themselves a little dirt bath.
Yep, just put it in their dirt bath area.
Now, I've never heard this question before, but I'm sure the urban farmer has.
Uh-oh.
Because in populated areas, you've come with apartments and condos.
Yeah. Yeah, let me guess. Somebody wants to know if they can keep one in an apartment.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's a wonderful idea, and chickens make amazing pets, but they need to have a yard. You know, they're not like a cat that you can keep inside. You know, if you're going to have chickens, they really, really need a yard. So I would encourage the caller or texter that sent that one in, go find yourself a yard. Or, hey, even better yet, find a neighbor with a yard. And ask them if you can, keep chickens back there. What the heck?
You couldn't just get home at 5:30 and put on a little chicken leash and take it out to the common area on the lawn?
No, I wouldn't do that. That would be, that really would be mean to the chicken. Because, chickens do chicken things. Cat things, my cats at home, they lay around and don't do much. Chickens do chicken things, which is eating bugs and rooting and doing things that they need to be out and about on.
Now, I saved this question for last because I think it kind of ties in back to your points on protecting your flock. But this last texter wants to know, how do you keep chickens from jumping over or flying over the fence into maybe an alley or your neighbor's yard?
So the cool thing about chickens is once they know that they're where their home is, they like to stay at home. So that's number one. And what I tell people to do when you first get chickens, if you're getting adult chickens, lock them in the coop for a couple of weeks so that they get that's where they're supposed to be, number one. Number two, we trim one wing of a chicken. And basically, if you turn them over, just hold them in your hand and turn them over, their wings flare out, and there's a line down their wing where the feathers are at, and you see it when you turn them over. And if you just take scissors and clip along that line on one side only, basically that keeps them off balance and they can't fly up high. So that's the simplest. And it's just like cutting your nails or, you know, cutting your hair. It doesn't hurt them at all. It just keeps them from being airborne, which, you know, it's a really good thing to do, especially in our yard. We've got dogs on two sides. So if a chicken gets up on a fence and goes over the fence, which I've had happen before, you know, the dogs most likely will take the chicken out. So that's really important.
And there are breeds that fly better than other. If you get bantams, the small ones, those, they're smaller body weights, man.
Right.
Those can really fly. We tried Silver Phoenix one time, and they flew almost as good as guinea hens.
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's, you know, as a chicken keeper, you know, you really need to, you need to stay on top of that. It's one of your processes, and it usually happens about twice a year that you need to trim their wings.
Oh, that's all.
Yeah.
Just twice a year.
Yeah, because they molt, or they, you know, they put on new feathers usually twice a year.
Now, what do you do for fencing? Not really to keep them in, but keep predators out.
Yeah, so keeping predators out is a really important thing. And I've talked to Arizona Game and Fish in the past 2 weeks, and I interviewed a lady on our podcast. And we, like I said, for the first 15 years, I never had a predator problem at the urban farm, and then all of a sudden I do. Apparently, it's a problem all over the place, and it's how we managed predators in the 50s and 60s, which was by poisoning and killing a lot of them. So that really, you know, kept a lot of them back, and we're not doing that so much anymore. So the predators are finding their ways into the cities. And I'm talking bobcats and coyotes and foxes and raccoons and, you know, other places, weasels and those kinds of things that can impact your chickens. So what you have to do is you have to build really a fortress for them. And what we did at the urban farm is we went down about 16 inches with concrete, and then on top of that we put a treated 2x4 and built an enclosed chicken coop, not using chicken wire. There are animals that can go through chicken wire. Coyotes and raccoons will, you know, they'll just bust through the chicken wire. So we use welded wire fencing on the roof and hardware cloth on the sides. So, you know, keeping your chickens is, they're nice pets, and there's nothing worse than going out in the morning and finding one or two or ten of them dead. And so keeping them protected, you know, that's really the way you need to do it.
And you have a note here about eliminating attractions.
Yeah.
I was really curious what you had up your sleeve on that one.
Well, so there are things that will attract these wild animals. And when you're feeding birds, so if you're feeding, you know, just the wild birds in the neighborhood, that's an attractant. So you might think twice about feeding the wild birds. You know, obviously, if you have chickens in your backyard, you need to coop them up because, you know, chickens are an attractant. One thing that I hadn't thought about until I talked to Darren at the Arizona Game and Fish was putting food out. You know, food out for your cats or dogs outside. If you leave food out overnight, that's an attractant. So, you know, cut back on that. And one thing I had never thought about was your compost pile. You know, if you're putting food in your compost pile, that's going to attract, you know, some of these animals. But it's what it's going to attract is rats. And rats are an attractant for, you know, for these larger animals. So you know, we need to get smart about, you know, keeping those things controlled in our yard.
So we've talked about selecting birds. We've talked about the fencing for them, the nesting for them. We'll get into feeding here, but have a... How much does that first egg cost?
That's a great question, because when you're feeding your chicks, you know, they require a special feed. It's a little bit more expensive. You're going to feed chickens for, you know, 5 months before you get an egg. And, you know, I'm going to guess that you're going to spend $15 in feed in 5 months on a, you know, on a hen. So, you know, your time and energy going into it, plus, you know, $10 or $15 or $20 worth of feed, for sure.
What type of feed do you like? There's a lot of brand names out there. When you walk into your feed stores, there's multiple options, and you can get Lay crumbles, you can get corn scratch. What do you like to feed? feed your chickens?
So the corn scratch is like a treat for the chickens, and we really shouldn't be feeding them a whole lot of that. What you're looking for in feed for an adult hen, for a laying feed or a layer feed, is like 16% protein, and they call it layer feed. And the chick feed is higher, a little higher in protein. Usually it's up about 20% in protein, and you're looking for, a grower feed. They call it a grower feed or a chick feed. There's a bunch of different brands out there. There's a company out of Montana that ships into Arizona, and they do, it's an organic crumble, essentially, that you can get from them. And definitely organic feed, because here's the thing, whatever you're putting in that chicken, you're going to eat later, whether it's a meat bird or whether it's a laying hen, whatever you're putting in them is going to end up on your plate eventually. So you need to be really cognizant about what you're feeding them.
That's a great point. And it really drives home the question of what they're getting fed when you buy them store-bought. Where are those food sources coming from?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's actually why I do what I do in the world. I like to educate people about where their food comes from and what's in it. Because I tell people all the time, there's three things in our culture that cause 100% of the disease. That's lack of nutrition in our food, environmental toxins, and stress. And by gardening, you can address all three of those.
Wonderful. Well, we've got one more segment with Mr. Greg Peterson, the urban farmer. We're going to be talking a little bit back to our composting, but using the chickens as the composter and the combination of worms and items that go into making your organic mixes. If you've got a final question, you can try and squeeze in at 411-923 on the text, or 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Talking chickens with the urban farmer, Mr. Greg Peterson.